Your name?
Bill Erasmus. I'm the Denny National Chief, and I live in Yellowknife, Northern Canada, Northwest Territories.
What brings you to D.C. in front of the White House?
Well, we were invited to come here to let people know the potential of the expansion of the pipelines, what that means to us, this huge development of a pipeline from Canada to the Gulf Coast. So we've been down here, we've been talking to people, like-minded people, and it's quite the experience.
And talk about what it will mean, this tar sands pipeline.
Well, the pipeline to us, in our view, what it means is that it would expand the development that's already taking place. I didn't realize yesterday, but one of the ladies in speaking said that every proposal that the tar sands has put forward, every proposal that they put forward has been approved, 100% approval. I've never heard of that ever. But that's how they've been able to work in Alberta, because the same government has been in power since 1973, the conservative government there in Alberta. They have a strong hold of what happens, and they've been getting away with that. What's happening now is people are basically saying, it's enough, because where I come from, we're downstream. The water goes north to us. So anything that happens in the south affects us. There's waters that are polluted and waters that are used at great amounts. To develop one barrel of oil, you need between 4 and 5 barrels of water. And there are no regulations as to how much water ought to be taken. For example, in the winter, when the water is at its lowest, they take just as much as in the spring when the water is at its highest. So there's a lack of regulations. That affects us. Our waters are at an all-time low. I'm 800 miles further north, waters are low. 1,000 miles even further north, they're even lower. So that affects the animals, it affects the aquatic life, it affects us as human beings. People now are getting diseases that are people never heard of. Cancerous tumors, unusual ones. People can no longer eat the fish. People can no longer drink the water. And that's coming further and further north. So that's how it's affecting us. And this pipeline means expansion, developing that even further.
Can you talk about the extraction process? What does it look like?
What happens is it's called bitumen. It's not in a liquid form. It's in a it's the part of the boreal forest, and what happens is they have to literally just dig the ground up. They dig the ground up. They use great deals of water pressure to solidify the oil, to refine it, and then it goes to market. So that's why they have to use so much water, because it's in a solid form. I can't explain it much better than that, but what bothers us is that this oil that is to come to America in the proposal is not for American use. The Americans do not have a shortage. This oil is to come to the Gulf and then go to the highest bidder. So that's really not in the national interest. We're very, very concerned that this pipeline will go through the Oglala Aquifer, which gives fresh drinking water to some 4 million people. If there's a pipeline burst or a spill in that vicinity, you kill the drinking water for 4 million people. The people that built the first part of this pipeline, the Keystone first part of it, have a terrible record. In the last 12 months, they've had 12 spills. 12 spills. So why should they get approval to build another pipeline with that kind of a record? It doesn't make sense to us. We support what the governor of Nebraska is saying, that those waters need to be protected. Those waters need to be seen as a sacred site. They need to be like a national park where nothing can interfere that. Because as we know, water is becoming the greatest resource, fresh drinking water. If you don't have it, we're not gonna survive. So those are some of the concerns that we have.
What's your message to President Barack Obama, as well a message to the American people?
I think I've thought of that. If I was the president, what would I do? I would tell the best minds in the field to come up with a new way of dealing with fossil fuels. If it means developing canola, for example, to run our vehicles and to replace oil, then let's do that. Let's get our best minds together and let's come up with a solution. Give them a time frame. Give them, say, it's got to be done in 18 months. And put the money into it so that our people feel secure, we've got a future ahead. That's one thing. The other thing is this whole pipeline development started with the Bush administration. So it didn't start with this administration. It's not his responsibility. He has the authority to stop it. What he can say is, that's the old way. It doesn't make sense. This is not worth it. It's not in the national interest for the following reasons. And then say, we've got a new way. We've got to deal with this in a new way. And from now on, this is our new plan. And I think he can do that between now and election time and develop a new plan that people will take and run with. To me, that makes a lot of sense.
And any message you have for the American people?
Well, the American people, we're your neighbors. Our people see ourselves as North Americans. We're from the North American continent. We've never recognized officially that there's a border. Someone has put a border between us to make us as if we're different. We're really not different. We are Dene. They are Dene on the lower 49th. There are Dene in Alaska. The Navajos, the Apaches, the Hoopa are the same people as us, but someone has put a border between us. And it's time that we saw each other as North American people. We need to have strong policy in a country called Canada where we can meet targets that we've agreed to internationally. Right now, that's not happening in Canada. We need to have a plan in place. Canada, with its tar sands, doesn't have to have a plan because it's just expand, just go with it. But we need to have a plan of how to move forward in the future. The U.S. needs a plan also. The U.S. doesn't have a plan. Both countries have to have a plan. We also need a North American plan. Let's begin getting our best minds together and let's talk about it. Let's do it together.
Are you surprised the numbers of people that have turned out over these 2 weeks, hundreds or is it more than 1,000 that have gone to jail for this cause?
No, not surprised at all. I think people are looking for leadership. People here are like-minded. There are many, many other people. People have a lot of faith in President Obama, but the message has to get to him. People have to write letters to the editor. People have to write letters to the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. You've got to let your concerns be known on paper for the record. There are hearings along the corridor for the pipeline. People have to go to those hearings, they have to speak out, and they have to be on record. We came here and we met with people in the Department of Interior yesterday and with other chiefs from Canada, and we clearly told them what our concerns were. They're very pleased to have that. Now we have to follow up in writing. So there's a whole campaign that's going on and it'll continue until a decision is made. Later this month in Canada, September 26th, there's a full day of action in the capital city of Ottawa. And so we're planning with that, and it'll be Indigenous peoples, but it'll also be environmentalists and other peoples, because this affects all of us.
Do Indigenous peoples bring a different perspective to this issue than others?
Well, we all have different perspectives. We bring the perspective from the land because we're land people. Where I come from, we're hunters and trappers. We're the first people that get hit. We're at ground zero. And many times our people are not equipped to speak out. So that's why we have to organize ourselves. The environmental people cannot do it by themselves. But when we get together, that different view becomes much stronger and it's easier for us to be able to get what we want to achieve.
Chief, thanks so much for your time. Any final thoughts you care to share?
Well, our hands are out to the American people. We see you as our allies. Where I'm from, we have our original treaties are with Great Britain, because Canada didn't have the authority to sign treaties. They were a colony of Great Britain. We have international instruments that protect us, protect our lands, and those rights have to be recognized. Provisions of the treaties maintain that our way of life would always be protected. Right now, our way of life is threatened. The tar sands is tearing up a huge, huge parcel of land the size of the state of Florida. And we're being threatened. And we need people to get together with us to iron out the problems that we have, because the problem to us is a problem to other people also.
I guess that brings up one more question, which is global warming. It's not just the impact of extracting it once the oil is used. There's the problem of global warming.
Well, there's global warming, which is an absolute real thing. The other thing that happens with this extraction is that great amounts of natural gas are used to extract the resource. And as you know, CO2 emissions come from the natural gas. Now, that pollutes the environment. That contributes to climate change. Climate change is real to us. It's happening. We have many occurrences up north where riverbanks are caving in. We've got in Alaska, for example, which is just over from us, just over the mountains, we've got whole villages that are feeling the effects because the waters now are freezing later. There's one community on the east coast of Alaska where a storm came in. There was we saw the video of a 3-hour video where the first hour the road got washed away, and the second hour the house got washed away into the ocean, and the next hour the rest of the land got caved in. These things are happening, and now the U.S. government is having to spend millions of dollars to try and preserve that water line. We're what is called people that are on top of the world, because we're in the most extreme northern parts of the world. The equator is down in the middle of the world. If there is a 2% increase in the middle of the world, it's an 8% increase for us at the top of the world. So that's why we're so concerned, because the ice caps are melting. The north is changing. Right now, at this time of the year, this is September, usually the animals are rutting. The caribou, the moose, the buffalo, and so on. But they're not. Their whole cycles are changing. It's being delayed so that the animals are going by the weather, so that they're not going into their normal patterns. And bears, for example, usually begin to hibernate now, but they won't until later in October or even into November. So cycles of animals are changing. What that means is, for example, with a bear, you disrupt his annual cycle. He goes into hibernation late, and it gets warmer sooner. He comes out of hibernation sooner, so the bear hasn't really rested. It's not the same. And the food patterns have changed, and so on. Our people say the world is upside down. It's a real thing, and that's what we have to tackle. It's global warming and climate change.
Thanks so much.
Okay.